You are listening to KKUP Cupertino, 91.5 FM, and it is time for the Vibrational Voyage program. This program comes your way every Tuesday evening at 11 p.m. following Orient Express. And you heard a little promo there at the top of the hour for the psychedelic marathon. That's coming up, Equinox weekend. So that's the weekend after this one. And there's a lot of really interesting events going on the earth and in the sky related to the equinox time. And there's a really amazing event that's happening over at Galwagatso Buddhist Center. Lama Zopa Rinpoche is going to be doing a set of teachings. He's going to be doing something called the Golden Light Sutra Transmission. And that'll be happening. It's actually going to be a couple of sessions this weekend at the Galwagatso Buddhist. Actually, it's not going to occur at the Galwagatso Buddhist Center, but you can get information there. He's visiting Galwagatso, but I think the event is actually going to be elsewhere. I actually registered for this one. I'm not remembering exactly where it's going to occur. I think it's the Doubletree. So you may want to do a little search on this. You could probably search on Lama Zopa, or you could search on Galwagatso, and you spell Galwagatso at G-Y-A-L-W-A, Gyalwa, and then Gyatso, G-Y-A-T-S-O, Galwagatso Buddhist Center. You could probably also do a search on San Jose or Silicon Valley Buddhist Center, and you'll find Galwagatso. The event is going to be not only this weekend, but the weekend of the 19th and the 20th. And there are sessions planned right now for Saturday and Sunday this weekend and Saturday and Sunday the following weekend. And, of course, the Sunday of the following weekend is the equinox. We're actually going to have the exact time of the equinox will be about 4:20 p.m., exactly, as a matter of fact, 4:20 p.m. and 44 seconds is the exact time of the equinox. And when that happens, the Sun and Uranus will be almost exactly together. Uranus is going to be at about half of the first degree, about 31 minutes of Aries, when the Sun hits 0 degrees of Aries. So that alignment could only happen at most once in 84 years. But I think it's actually quite a bit more rare than that, that the Sun is right at the beginning of Aries at the time when Uranus is so close to the beginning of Aries. So quite a rare event that's coming for us this equinox. Interestingly, we will have a full moon on Saturday. The full moon is, building right now. We'll have the first quarter in a couple of days. But then on the Saturday before the solstice, the day before the solstice, we'll have a full moon. And at the time of the equinox, I'm sorry, I said solstice, didn't I? At the time of the equinox, the moon will be a little past full, and it's going to go over and meet up with Saturn. So we'll actually see the moon getting closer and closer to Saturn over the next 10 days or so. And at the time of the equinox, the exact time of the equinox, the moon and Saturn will be very close, and they'll be opposite to Jupiter. And actually, Jupiter will be very close to Mercury. Of course, they'll be pretty close to the Sun, so it's going to be hard to see Jupiter and Mercury. Yeah, it looks like it'd be pretty much impossible to see Jupiter and Mercury. But we'll be able to see the full moon happening on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the moon will be very close to Saturn. So that's a very interesting and powerful set of events. It really kind of bodes powerfully for a strong equinox and an equinox. The 0 degrees of Aries a lot of times is, you know, while it's been celebrated for many centuries as New Year, our Persian, Iranian brothers and sisters, they still to this day celebrate New Year as Nowruz, and it's the beginning of spring, and the sun at 0 degrees of Aries, sun at the equinox. So I was going to do a little celebration for that myself, and this year that celebration is going to be happening over at the Divine Science Community Center. I have a room over there, and everybody's welcome who would like to come and celebrate the equinox. And we'll do a little bit of shamanic astronomy work and celebrate the equinox. You're welcome to come check that out. Divine Science Community Center is in the Willow Glen area of San Jose, and I encourage you, if you want to come to that, there's no cost. You can make donations if you like. You can call the following number, which is an office line for me, and get more information, or let me know that you'd like to come. The number's 408-899-6821, 408-899-6821. As you probably realize, KKUP is completely listener-supported, so our fundraising marathons, like the one that's going to happen not this weekend, but the next weekend, the weekend also of the equinox, supports our operations here. We do need your support, and you can actually make a pledge to support KKUP at any time. You can go to the website and do that, or you can call us. So the website is KKUP.org. And you can call the station. As soon as I get off the microphone here, I can take a pledge or talk with you. The number to call is 408-260-2999, 408-260-2999. And there's an 831 number, 831-255-2999. That's 831-255-2999. What I have for you tonight is something new. I was recently contacted by an old friend. Seems kind of really, you know, a strange and lovely synchronicity with the equinox time. I got contacted by a Native American spiritual elder who's an old friend of mine, and he's been on this program many times. His name is Walblaza Labatt. He is of Lakota and Dakota ancestry. He's a spiritual elder, storyteller, and he's also considered a chief. He was named a grand chief by a group of indigenous elders. There's many different groups of elders that he's connected with and has not only his friends, but does ceremonies with him. And he'll talk a little bit about that work in this interview. So he called me and told me about some things that he's doing. There's a number of really lovely events. This one that he'll be talking about today is happening in Sedona, also during the equinox time. And following that event, he'll be down there in Sedona doing some celebrations related to the equinox, and then he'll be taking off on an adventure that's actually a tour with a bunch of Native American sacred sites. And he'll be doing ceremonies as well as a number of other spiritual elders. So it sounds like a great adventure. And he's going to do all of this in these next few weeks, and then I'll get a chance to interview him again. We'll find out what happened. So you're kind of getting front-loaded a little bit, and I think this is lovely because it's so resonant with what's going on right now with the equinox. This energy of the equinox is energy of discovery. The sun in Uranus is very much about deep and profound new beginnings and also initiation. and renewal and great discovery, the sun with Uranus, anytime that happens, but especially when it occurs with the equinox. So what we're going to hear tonight is a discussion that I recently had with Woa Blaeze, talking about his work, talking about the transformational energy that is moving right now in the consciousness of humanity. And he'll talk about these events that he's going to be participating in and facilitating over these next few days. Give you a sense of the energy that's going on here and what we're all working with. All right, so enjoy this. We've got Woa Blaeze for you.
The good fortune to be speaking with a dear friend, Woa Blaeze, who's a spiritual elder from both the Lakota and Dakota ancestry. And he's got some very interesting things that he's been up to lately. We've listened to him many times. He's been a guest on my program many times. And Woa Blaeze always has a lot of very interesting things to tell us about what he's experiencing and observing with all the different folks that he's interacting with. Quite an interesting group of people he gets to meet and talk with. So thanks, Woa Blaeze. Welcome to the Vibrational Voyage.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so glad to be able to speak to the people again.
Yeah, well, it has been a while, so I'm glad to have you available again to talk about some things that are going on. I'm sure it's been a little while since we've had a chance to do an interview. So I'm wondering about some of the things that you've seen and experienced over the last few years that really stand out in your awareness as important and interesting events that have significance for you, and I'm sure would have significance for everybody. If you don't mind, share some of those thoughts and memories about what's going on.
Yes, we're in a very I would want to say a fortunate time in the world when the world is going through a positive change. Although sometimes we don't feel that a lot of things that are happening are positive, it's just that Mother Earth is trying to send us a great message of peace on Earth and how to evolve with her into a higher level of consciousness. And we've been meeting for 20 or 30 years, the intertribal peoples from all the Americas, and we want to bring our voices together and our prophecies together, and we want to bring awareness to the people about what has happened, what is happening now, and what will happen in the future. It is a great deal of information to cover in a short amount of time, but I want to go over some of the more of the highlights of the things that I've attended. I've been attending a gathering called A Gathering of Eagles, Spiritual Unity of the Tribes. And this coming summer will be the 20th anniversary of the gatherings that the people have been having throughout North America. Mm-hmm. And what it involves is not only different tribes being involved in different sacred sites and different lands where the events are held, but also a sharing amongst all of the peoples of Mother Earth. That's what it means, the spiritual unity of the tribes. The first one was held in Saskatchewan, Canada, and it was called by a grandmother whose name was Grandmother Iron Eagle, and she was a Cree Indian, And she knew that someone had to do something about carrying out the prophecies that the different nations were given to do our part on Mother Earth. And so when she called her first gathering, it was a tremendous eye-opening experience to the people who went there. Hmm. And since then, there have been 20 of them. This one will be held for the 20th anniversary at the sacred Nambe Falls, which is outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, on a sacred mountain that everyone in Santa Fe could see. It's about 90 miles north of Albuquerque Airport, and it's on the Nambe Pueblo Reserve, the community, and it's hosted by the tribal chief or president, and his family, and also the people there and the surrounding communities will all be helping. And it will be on the land. People are welcome to camp there, and they will have a sacred fire burning all 4 days of the gathering. It's July 24th through the 30th, because a couple of days for setup days and to take down the encampment. Ernest Mirabal, who is an elder who was with me on the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth Council for many years, he is still alive, and he's still carrying out his awesome way of gathering the people together. I'm so happy. We'll be happy to see him again. They've invited me to come and speak and to be a part of the gathering and honoring of the 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Now, at that time, we'll also be connecting with all the other spiritual events throughout the Americas. And it's most important that we keep in mind that the ending of the Native American calendars are coming to an end, and mm-hmm. there will be a new era. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the most highlighted one is, the Mayan calendar in 2012 in December. But as I spoke with many of the spiritual leaders, the Mayan people, they say it's the calendar that we use throughout the world, the Gregorian calendar, is off. Mm. And that really they were 13 moon cycles mm-hmm. of the land of the moon. And so it's going to highlight what has happened, some of the gatherings and conferences and the international congresses of indigenous peoples that have been started, and how many of the presidents of the countries south of us have honored the people and their coming forth and bringing out the original instructions of the land. And it's really a beautiful thing, but it also comes during a turbulent time of what the modern day world focuses on, and that is money and financial mm-hmm. things and power mm-hmm. and all those things. which will have no meaning in the future during the time, because everything is all reborn again, as mm-hmm. it always has been mm-hmm. in the other worlds that mm-hmm. have existed upon Mother Earth. Mm.
And as you point out, Wobblazer, this is something that some of us have a memory of those previous experiences. That always fascinates me, that there is a living record of what has come before. Could you speak just a little bit about that? Would you mind?
Yes. Well, many tribes around indigenous peoples around the world always speak of times that they had lived many lives over. And, of course, one of the most prominent figures is who announces this publicly is the Dalai Lama mm-hmm. of Tibet. Mm-hmm. And he's a world peacekeeper. So he talks about that and has brought it out publicly. And some of the younger peoples of many countries, maybe even their presidents, they don't know. They don't know. They're not aware of these things because they're brought in a modern day world without the teachings of their grandmothers and grandfathers, because there's this break when countries were conquered. People lost the memories that we believed that was people have been born many lifetimes over. And in my experience, this is my own personal experience, I've found out that, you know, I was reborn several times on this earth mm-hmm. in different places mm. and not only in the Americas.
Okay.
But also that we all have a duty each time we're sent. We come from the light, and we're born into the light of Mother Earth. We come from places far, far away, and then when we come here, we come here to do a duty. Mm. And we all have a significant purpose in life, what we're supposed to do. Mm. But sometimes we as children are harmed emotionally or physically or however it is, maybe through wars or pestilence or disease. And so we don't realize, we can block all those memories that we have. When we were very first born, the first few months of the first year of our lives, we have so much information inside of us that we remember. And so that's why they always look. When the Dalai Lama dies, they will look for another child that's mm-hmm. born that remembers his clothes, his house, his belongings, his sacred objects that he used. And then they will declare him a new person, reborn, and to carry out his leadership among the people.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a high instance. But people are born to work at all different levels. Those who are born to work with the grasses, the grass people, the trees, the rocks, the animals, the fish, the birds, it comes all the way up the ladder and all the way up into work with other humans as healing other human beings. Mm. So there's many things that we were were sent here to Mother Earth to experience and to try to complete our mission that we've been given by the Creator. And sometimes we don't finish that, so we get reborn again. And sometimes when we finish, in many instances of the Northern Plains Indians, I've heard that we return to the stars.
Mm.
And I have an uncle who was born a medicine man into a medicine family, and he was a very, very powerful Native American healer, Indian doctor without degrees like we have today, but he was just able to heal the people with his songs and his prayers and his knowledge of herbs, which he traveled many, many miles to learn about through his lifetime. And then when he finally passed, I was told by very wise people that he was sitting in a significant place, that we could see him every night as we look up at the stars, that he's sitting there as one of the star people watching over his family and his peoples. And he's accomplished the work that he came here to do. So he's back to being a star person, back to being a person of the light. And so we're never taught all these things in today's modern educational system, but we have our grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles, and as a family unit, this is the way we were supposed to, we were given as original instructions to teach one another. Everyone, like they say, it takes a whole tribe to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, has a very deep meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of instances, those ties have been broken, but we are realizing that it's time to go back to our roots, and people are searching high and low and from country to country to find out their own roots and their own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way why we see a new consciousness, a new awareness of what life is really all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we constantly have to pray, because as we pray, the people in the spirit world are praying with us. And they are always in constant prayer, watching over us. So they never leave us. Even though we lost a mother or a father, they never left us. Or a brother or a sister or a grandmother or grandfather. They never left us. They're still there. They're still with us. They just simply walked into the future, as one of my Navajo brethren told me. As his grandfather was dying and the children were crying, he said, "Don't worry about me. I'm simply, when I close my eyes, I'll be walking into the future. And I will see you there again, grandson. I will see you there again. We will meet again, granddaughter, and there in the future."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we look at life. And that's what's so important for these things that are occurring now on Earth. I mean, they happened before all these hurricanes, all these volcanoes, all these earthquakes. They happened not only hundreds of years ago, but thousands of years ago, and worlds before now that we don't know, because there's no writings of them, but it's in our minds.
Mm-hmm. There's a great expanse of experience stretching out for us. I think that's one of the things that comes through to me when I hear you
sharing this story, Wellblaze. You know, it seems like, you alluded to it earlier, it seems to me like what we're moving into, what we're about to be born into, is perhaps a changed experience. It seems to me it's perhaps more, a more conscious experience and a deeper experience where we begin to recognize and understand our actions and our relationships and the way that we, I think becoming conscious of our actions and our relationships really is a big, big thing. It's no small thing. And that in itself has a potential to change everything.
Mm-hmm. Even, you know, like not only with Native Americans, but you know, African Americans and Chinese Americans, you know, they have run into the problem of the disease of alcoholism. I was just talking to a grandmother, a Miwok grandmother from California this morning, and she said it just never ceases to amaze her that so many grandmothers and grandfathers are following the sober path now, and there are all of these grandchildren that are being born who see their grandparents and their parents sober, walking a sober path, and they're a totally different type of children that we have seen in the past few decades or so. It's a beautiful thing, she said. Beautiful thing to see and witness.
Yes. Yeah, so this is another place where you are seeing, and so many people are seeing actual evidence of a new, you know, a new growth, a new flowering in human existence. This isn't something that lays far, far, far ahead of us. This is something that is actually beginning now. That's what I sense when I hear you speak about this.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you right at your computer, if it's able to search, but the website is www.thegathering2011.com.
Okay.
And /index.html. And then you'll see the gathering that I'm about to attend in Arizona, when there's people coming from around the world to see the beautiful, beautiful land of the Southwest, where there's such a deep history, and there are peoples that their homes and their villages are there, but they are no longer there, and no one knows where they went.
Hmm.
But when you go there, you sense them, and you sometimes you get a dream about what happened to those people and the great accomplishments they did while they were alive on this plane.
There's an image at the website of Cathedral Rock. Oh, my God, it's a gorgeous photo. Could you maybe express a few things about the energy of Sedona and maybe even a little bit about the energy of Cathedral Rock? It's so beautiful.
Well, I've been to Sedona, I don't know, about 15 or more times. And I just could never get over how beautiful it is, whether it's nighttime, sunrise, daytime, getting close to sunset and going into nighttime, the whole thing changes. And when you talk to a lot of the people who lived there a long time who tried to study that, you know, geologically, they say that area was underwater a long time ago.
Okay.
And that's why the stones are carved so beautifully. It was an underwater world. It was part of the sea.
Wow.
In the past era of life on Earth. And now it's just has so much energy and so much. The land has so many stories. So many people are drawn there to pray and to meditate and to get healed, mm-hmm. and to have these out of body experiences that they never had before in their lives. You know, I've met so many people on my journey that say, "Well, I never been there," and all of a sudden I end up there, and it was just, you know, a life changing experience for me. Well, all of those places, they have images that are sacred beings living in the stone,
mm-hmm.
like the Cathedral Rock and the Bell. There's a Bell Rock.
Yes,
there's many places, and when you go there, you see places where the native people came and made sacred medicine wheels,
mm-hmm.
where they prayed there for many, many centuries. And they're still there, and the National Park Service protects them now. But it's beyond words until you go there, you know, to actually see it and feel it. And we've climbed the rocks, and we've sat there and watched the sun go down, and we've meditated and prayed, and it felt changed, you know. Felt so much at peace, and we felt wiser than we were the day before. And you know, it's just has what the people today, the light workers call, has they say there's places that are energy vortexes.
Yes,
where they can go to a certain place, and they can enter through meditation, however they do, into another world, another dimension, and see the different beings that live within that area. I mean, I can't imagine when I was underwater how many beautiful crustaceans. Animals live in the crustacean area. It must have been beautiful whales, and
yeah.
and everything must have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's different. When I went to another place there, it was called, I think they call it Shaman's Cave, but it's a up, you have to climb up these red rocks, and then there's a big room, like a ceremonial room with writings on the walls, and there's a couple windows, like naturally built windows where you could see out, and one is in a perfect circle. And a lot of people go there, and they feel, or they grow, or they develop themselves into different people that they were before they came there. I went there with like you would say, like a shaman or a herbalist medicine person from Mexico, and he took us to the top of that thing, which we thought was just a, you know, barren spot of grass or something was growing on top of this hill-like. And here there was water. you know, it was so dry in Arizona, and there was puddles of water, just crystal clear water, just glowing freely up on top. You know, it couldn't have been more than a semi truck body, the trailer, that long of area across, you know, put in the cross side. And all that water was so beautiful to see, and there's a little lichens, there's a little plants growing out of there. And he had us stand in a circle, and he told us that place was one of the places of new life, of the creation of another world. And so he had us all stand in a circle and pray. And he made the herbal tea for the people who drank, who wanted to drink it. And it was just so calm, so beautiful. The sky was blue. There was just a few small clouds going by. And we were just, he had a translator when he spoke Spanish. But the words that the translator told us was we wish we had come to before, and that we had him with us, and that he'd come back there many more times. And he gave, he put us in a circle where there would be people standing in the four directions. And I just happened to be in one of the directions. And he said that, well, you know, one of your jobs in the future is going to be a protector of this place. You'll come back and you'll do a ceremony. The Hopi people said they used to come there a long time ago. The Navajo people, the Chiricahua, I think Apaches have the closest reservation there. But all the peoples from the Southwest used to come to that whole area and pray in all those canyons and on top of the Cathedral Rock. And it's just a very beautiful place to go to. And the spiritual experience is beyond compare to any place I've ever been.
Yeah, indeed. No, that's beautiful story. Thanks for telling us about that. So I want to give you a chance to tell everybody about what is coming up, because there is a gathering, and you're going to be one of the people teaching at this event. And it's coming soon, and it's down in this beautiful area. So please tell people about some of the things that will be happening as part of this event.
Okay, it's called the Gathering 2011 Sedona, You, Us, the Earth. and it's an international conference for light workers. And it's been... the site's been up for about a year or so, and it just completely filled up right away where they opened up to add more people, and there's just not enough room for everyone, for them to have everyone go. But it's going to happen March 21st. To March 22nd in Sedona during the spring equinox.
Yes.
Now we will be there.
Actually,
and,
March 19th to 21st. It says on the website. So that's two weekends from now, right now.
Yeah. It's really, really close. I will be working with one of the spiritual leaders of the Grand Canyon, the Havasupai people, and we'll be doing the opening ceremonies. there in Sedona, and he will explain why is the Grand Canyon is such a sacred site to all the peoples of the Southwest. And me as being elected a chief of one of the many elders groups from around the Americas, they asked us to do the opening ceremony, and then from then on they will have all these people who are well known speakers and authors. One of them is Thrunbelow Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And Jeanette Crowley, she lives in Colorado, and she travels the world leading these spiritual tours for people, and she does all these teachings, and she receives messages from an ancestor from long ago named White Eagle, and another one named Mark, and Grandmother Parisha, and Sandra Ingerman. A lot of people know her. And Malaku, he's from, he's an Andean shaman and author. He's from Cusco, Peru. He'll be speaking on the Master Path. And he is a sought-after speaker and healer from his area of the Americas. And then there's a lady named Sarah McLean. She's the author and director of the Sedona Meditation Training Company in Sedona, Arizona. She's been working there since 1989, I think. And she's worked with Deepak Chopra, Debbie Ford, Gary Sukoff, Byron Katie, a lot of people. When people looked at the site and saw that I'd be with all these people, they said, wow, this is a pretty wonderful group of people you'll be working with. Celia Cifontes, I think she is from another country, Sweden. She'll be doing some presentations and teachings. Peter Sterling, he's award-winning harpist and alchemist. And, of course, Ukwala, that's my dear friend who was with me when we had the Return of the Ancestors gathering just a few years ago north of Sedona in the canyon, wooded canyon area that you would never believe it was in Arizona. It was so beautiful and so many trees and so much water and the lakes, and they had teepees and they had wiki ups. They had all different types of styles of spiritual and traditional lodges where people could stay or they can pray. And they formed another international spiritual elders group, which is working on a lot of declarations throughout the South America and Central America and North America. And they still want my help in getting the word out here, or getting some people from here to ask their country leaders to support their indigenous rights. And then there's Wolfine Von Rohr, I think he's from Germany. He's also another, he's from Austria. And he's a profound expert on the spiritual scene worldwide. And he's been working for more than 30 years with many teachers from Europe, Asia, and America. So just a wonderful group of people is going to be there. And then, of course, we will, after the gathering in Sedona, then we're going on a thing called the Great American Southwest Tour that lasts for about 8 days. Altogether, it'll be about 14 days.
Mm.
And that is sold out. 9 day spiritual tour with John at Crowley and Van Cheap Old Blaze, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take some tour buses and we're going to go explore some of the beautiful, beautiful sites of the Southwest, the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Zion National Park, connect with the Native Americans of today as well as the ancient ones.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking all the great sites, visiting Arizona, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Utah, and Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be, I thought she was talking about a 3-day event. And then after it started to evolve, I said, wow, this is a really wonderful thing that I'll be able to be a part of. And to share some of my personal experiences and storytelling to mm-hmm. the people from many parts, take it back to many parts of the world, as well as from the United States.
Well, I'd certainly like to have you come back and tell more of the stories. I love your stories. The way that you connect the people and the stories. And so they're new stories, new experiences, new adventures, and you've got the old stories too. And it's lovely how they all fit together. And I enjoy so much hearing what you tell us about these experiences and
so that was Woel Blaze Labatt. I hope you enjoyed hearing what Woel Blaze had to say tonight. You know, there were just some qualities in the stories that he told. And if you listen to the sound of his voice and to the energy of his words, there's something extremely clarifying and instructive in that information. So I really want to encourage you to kind of take that within you as we move towards equinox. I'm going to post this one up online as soon as I can, because I know Woel Blaze was hoping to send links out to the interview. So I'll get this one up as quick as I can. It will be up on my website, which is ncrising.com. That's New Consciousness Rising, ncrising.com. When you get to that page, just look for the radio program link. And the shows are in there chronologically. I don't have every show in there, but the ones where I actually do an interview or play a recording of an interview that I've done, I try to put a link and an archive up for that. Alrighty. Gosh. I know this evening, I believe it should be Larry Grant. I haven't seen him yet this evening, because I was kind of yakking on the phone there for a few minutes while the end of the interview was playing. So let me go check what's happening. I'm sure we're going to have some wonderful music up for you next. Thanks for listening tonight. It's been wonderful to be here with you. Thanks for joining in on the Vibrational Voyage. And I'll be back next week. These next couple of weeks are going to be pretty strong and intense. I'm wishing you the best. And I'll have something interesting for you next week and the next few weeks, related to this Sun-Uranus energy, this new initiation, new birth energy for our world, the rebirth of spring. All right, everybody, take good care. I'll be talking to you again soon.